When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Another podcast, another opportunity to help you get this right. We know many of you aren't going to do that. We do. We know that. But darn it, we want you to. So we're going to keep flogging this one until it's, well, we hope it doesn't die fast. We hope it actually dies slowly, because if this one dies fast, we're all going to be in a world of hurt because of all of you. See, Tom would be nicer, because all of you idiots out there who fall for the stupid stuff. Jeez, really? Get over it. What are we talking about, Tom? You know, by the way, I forgot to mention. Hi. Hey. Look at me. I'm Don McDonald, hanging out in Florida. Just got out of the pool. Can't do a thing with my hair. I am. I was celebrating.
Your hair looks. Okay, wait. Your hair looks the same today as it does every other day. You never do anything with your hair. It just settles on your forehead, and that is that. Yeah, get real, dude.
I cut it with the Flowbee.
I actually have a part. They said, what was it where somebody wrote, never trust a man who doesn't have a part? I don't know. So whatever.
No, don't trust me then, because I don't have one. Nothing. I have never in my entire life parted my hair.
Really?
Ever.
Wow.
Never. That's no. Not once.
I got to rethink our relationship on that.
It went from this long.
Yeah.
And it gradually got
most people
shorter.
Are listening to us. They can't see when you're saying this long. He's showing his shoulders.
See, it's the podcast. If you want to see what we do, go to YouTube and watch the podcast.
Please.
It's on YouTube.
Pretty please.
And we have 600 and subscribers.
Okay. 600,000?
600. That joke.
Yes. And I will keep flogging the dead horse. That will be flogged and flogged and till the whip is broken, dude. Okay.
That joke is showing its age.
Like,
oh, this is others. Where I break the fourth wall. Oh, I'll go to this camera for breaking the fourth wall.
That's a good idea. Go ahead and break it. That might improve ratings.
By the way, I'm Don McDonald in Florida, just out of the pool at the beautiful Kessler Bohemian. I love these little boutique-y hotels. They're just great. It's like, it's 5 blocks away, but it's like going away without COVID, because I didn't get on a plane. And over there in the Seattle area, near Seattle, he's kind of across Lake Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the star of a PBS program way back in the olden days.
Oh, come on.
Called Something About Money.
No, it's not what it was called.
Something About Mary.
Yeah,
no, that was a movie.
That. Yeah, okay.
Mr. Thomas C., as in Charles Cox.
The program was called, and I want all the respect that's due for the name of that program. It was called Serious Money. Thank
you.
Yeah,
and when you watched it, you went, this is really a little
too serious. Okay, you were on the show twice, dude. Come on.
And the only time the mood lightened was when I was on the show.
Oh, that was it, huh?
Yeah.
That's not true. Yeah. That is
you
not
got
true.
Into fights with everybody. Did you fight with Wade Crook?
Wade ended
up. Did you fight with some guy from Boeing or somewhere?
Yeah, that didn't turn out well. There was some anger with the guy that did the payday. There was the president of the Payday Loan Association for the great state of Washington. He is still the president of the loan. Anyway, don't get me going. Yeah, he got mad at me. And
well, speaking of payday loans, which are just total ripoffs.
Yeah, please.
We really need to talk again about cryptocurrencies. Now, you understand that there are almost 3,000 traded cryptocurrencies with a current market valuation this number just blows me away, north of $2 trillion. Now, some of them are Bitcoin. Bitcoin is just, Bitcoin's the big one. And Bitcoin is just, Bitcoin says, we're nothing. We're whatever you want us to be. We're not worth anything. You want to trade a Bitcoin for something? Well, good luck. It's whatever somebody else is willing to pay. But there are others that are asset-backed cryptocurrencies. And one of the biggest of those is one called Tether. And Tether's pretty big. And Tether is starting, well, there have been a ton of articles. And I mean a ton of articles.
Well, again, and this came to more attention because my favorite business publication, Bloomberg, did a lengthy, I don't know, several thousand word piece that I guess you probably couldn't access it unless you have a subscription to Bloomberg. But they wrote a very lengthy piece. Let me just go back to the beginning. They said it's known as a stable coin, right? Because it's...
Right, because each one is supposed to be backed by a dollar in assets.
Right, except here in the third paragraph, which I think is critical, it says exactly how Tether is backed, or if it's truly backed at all, has always been a mystery. Now, that might not be a big deal if it was... few hundred dollars? Might be a bigger deal if it's a few thousand dollars, but now we're talking. I was astounded. There are 69 billion tethers in circulation. 69 billion with a B. That means that they have to know where, if this truly is backed one-to-one, as it says, where is the $69 billion that is backing all of this? Where is the money actually
held? We're talking real money.
Thank you for that. Yeah, so they ran around and tried to find it. These reporters went to like the Bahamas and they called people in China and they
what are they walking the beaches in the Bahamas with a metal detector?
Have you seen any money from
money laying around?
They couldn't find any of it. I mean, they went to people on Wall Street and said, are there going to be trades from these? Nope, never heard a word from them. Can't find it. And Tether's response is, oh, those are outdated. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know. I think the expression in my business used to be called non-denial denial. You're just like not answering the question, just denying it, but not saying, here's where it is. If that's not enough to make you nervous, how about the folks that run the Bank of England?
They're pretty stodgy.
So the guy
because it's not just the Bank of England. It's the Bank of England. We are the money center of the world and have been since the Dark Ages.
Yeah. Well, stodgy, conservative. The deputy governor for financial stability says there are well-founded concerns around unbacked cryptocurrencies in relation to investor protection, market integrity, and financial crime. Well, we've been saying that for a long time, so there's nothing new there. But here's the part that gets scary. He says that a massive collapse in the price of cryptocurrencies to as low as, and we've said this before too, zero is, quote, certainly a plausible scenario, and that there was a possibility of contagion across the global financial sector. Sounds a little like 2008.
Let's put that into other words for you.
Yeah.
Cryptocurrencies could cause collapse.
Ooh.
Market collapse, a crash. You who are playing cryptocurrencies may very well be responsible for the next great plummeting of stock prices and the loss of, I honestly believe these numbers are right, that the losses could amount to $2 trillion. It just annoys me. And there are so many of these Johnny-come-lately advocates. I'm just sick to death of hearing all these folks jumping on the bandwagon now when prices are already beyond stupid.
Okay, well, so since you've got your experts, I'm going to go get mine. I went and did a little research on my own.
Wait.
I did
Tom
it on
did
my
research?
Own. I did it on my
I
own.
I do all the research.
I know. I went on, I think it's called the World Wide Web, typed in some names just to see what they had to say. The computer came up with these.
Catchy name.
Kiplinger magazine, which I had Knight Kiplinger on
Knight.
My TV show, as you know. We had him on our old radio show, too.
Yeah, was it a very serious conversation between you and Knight? I bet it was really serious money, wasn't it?
It was great. He was the fabulous.
Was it
guy.
Funny or serious? Come
I
on.
I think it was pretty serious. Knight Kiplinger. Kiplinger says about cryptocurrency, doubtful as to its long-term value. Mm-hmm. Okay. But maybe you want somebody bigger. A huge force in the world of broadcasting and podcasting. I think he has the number one financial podcast.
He does.
He still does, yeah. Guy named Dave Ramsey. We're not huge fans of his investing advice, But Dave Ramsey says, not a good way to build wealth. But then, wait, I know, on the other side of the ledger.
Hold on. I just got, okay, not a good way. That's almost like a non-answer answer, too. Like, it's like, no, Dave, come on, just spit it out. A bad way to build wealth.
He didn't say that, which I think he should have.
But I will.
For those of you who really want to believe, and then you could strike up the famous Monkey song from 1960 whatever and sing along.
Last Train to Clarksville?
Ooh. Clarksville or Clarkston?
Pleasant Valley Sunday.
No, how about I'm a Believer, because you'll get a singer in the person of Jim Cramer. Because Jim Cramer says, cryptocurrency, I'm a believer, Don. There you
go. Was Jim with the Monkees?
He was with the Monkees. He took Davy Jones' place in the second movie. People don't remember that, but there you go.
Yeah. Well, and then
nobody ever
Edelman.
Watched after the first movie, so it doesn't matter.
Rick Edelman is one of these Johnny Come Latelys. Rick Edelman used to have a big show that he paid for on almost every station in America. And Rick is now gone from being a decent fiduciary advisor to being a crypto flogger and Rick is going to be embarrassed. I'm telling you, I don't make many predictions, but Rick is going to be embarrassed, and hopefully he's going to suffer a huge financial loss from this. And I really fear for a lot of you doing the exact same thing. I really do.
Yeah. I think I would listen to the sane voices there, not just ours, but people that I think you probably could pay attention to are telling you this is not a good idea in any sense. And as we've said before, why do you need this? Aren't stocks, and even bonds over the long haul, making you the money you need? Do you really need something else, or do you really want something else? Are you fear of missing out because somebody else is making big money? Are you secretly running money down to the Bitcoin ATM and popping 10s and 20s in there?
We did a podcast on that.
I know. Please.
If you are a podcast advocate and you believe you have a truly relevant, viable argument for cryptocurrencies and why they make sense as an investment, we would love to hear why. We really would love to hear why. I would like to hear a cogent argument. I've never heard a cogent argument. Not one.
It's the future of transactions, Don. It's blockchain.
I know it's blockchain. But what does that mean? Come on. Why is cryptocurrency the answer? To what question? Please call us at 855-935-TALK and leave your treatise. Or you can send it in at talkingrealmoney.com, talkingrealmoney.com, using the contact form. And, of course, we take questions on almost anything like this one, Tom.
And, by the way, I guarantee if you call with one of those comments or positions, we will put you on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Count on it.
Oh, yeah. Guaranteed.
Absolutely.
Guaranteed.
110%.
Yep. Not going to screen you out. We're going to put you on. Too much fun. No.
Question.
The question is on funding grad school. We don't get a lot of grad school questions.
You don't.
I'm 35, working full-time, mother of two kids in daycare. Got the urge to go to grad school. And haven't been planning on this previously. So, wanted to know your thoughts on short-term funding. Looking at needing $25,000 over 2 years. My prior student loans and credit cards are paid off. So, what are the best funding options, since it's not slowly adding to a 529 or gradually saving for it? Cash out, refinance my home? Just deal with student loans. Stop adding to my deferred comp and other investments for a while and use that to get some money for school, take money out of investments, or just push it out until I save enough money to pay for it. I enjoy listening to your show, trying to be mindful, and I do fall in that younger listener with no money category that someone previously thought you were missing out on.
Yeah, somebody did mention that. So
they did. They're there. People
I just talked to a bunch of them up at nearby college campus last few days. They don't have any money. I enjoyed it. It was fun. And by the way, there was one guy with apparently enough money to put it in Bitcoin and meme stocks. And he admitted it. And I said, be prepared to lose all your money. But back to this question. And he said, yeah, you're right. That could all go bye-bye. So we're talking about $25,000 over 2 years. And the options are borrowing the money in several ways. You could do student loans. You could, as you pointed out, cash out refi, which in today's rates, wow, that might be the best one. You could just save less. So instead of putting money away, you're putting that money in your pocket and spending it. I think those were the three options, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, take money out of investments, or stop funding deferred comp, or borrow, or wait. Basically, those
wait to go get it.
Wait to save up for.
I wouldn't do. I mean, because
grad school,
those things at 35, I think that's the time to go do it. I think waiting. Yeah. Well, it depends on the purpose. If the purpose to go get a higher paying job, change professions, et cetera, I'd say 35. I hate to see people. We talked to somebody recently who's 54 and still has a huge student loan balance. Horrible, horrible situation. So you don't want to do that. I would prefer out of those options, probably number one would be to slow down the savings and use that money to pay it. Mm-mm. Number two.
We're going to disagree.
Number two would be because when you say take money out of your investments, then it depends on whether those are retirement investments or those sort of post-tax brokerage kind of investments. That would be number two. And then probably number three would be either the refinance your home or take out the student loans. Those would be my options.
Yeah, I disagree. I'm going to flip those. I think because she says it's deferred comp. So I'm going to guess it's a 401, 403.
Yeah, something like that.
So there are tax advantages to doing that. Plus the potential, the earning potential is pretty significant. The long-term earning potential. I honestly think that if with the tax advantages and the earning potential, that you're going to be far better off than you are cashing out at 4 or 5%. Or if you do a complete refi, it depends on where your mortgage is now. If you have a 4% mortgage, you do a full refi at 3 and take a portion of cash out of that to pay for the grad school. Student loans really depends on the kind of student loan and the rates. But I think my first one would be if your loan is high, your rate is high on your mortgage, a full refi. And take the cash out for school, because I'm with Tom. I think now is the time to do it.
Yeah, at 35, you know, I would get going. Mm-hmm.
I kept waiting for things like this. I mean, I waited and waited and never did anything. And now
it's not too late for you either, by the way.
I'm just done. Okay. You know, I got talk shows and podcasts and stuff. I'm really
pools.
Good. I'm doing what I love.
Might work
what
on your hair a little bit. Yeah.
What else would I do?
You work on your
go
hair.
Go to the pool.
Yeah, your hair.
It was fun. But that's what I do. The last thing I'd probably do is to take money out of my investments or reduce my deferred comp, because what you've got going there is such a good habit.
That's true. It's a good habit.
And it's bad.
But you
it's
could bad to break you could take a little less there and a little bit here. I mean, so some of this is going to depend, as you said, on the interest rates involved. If you can refinance to a lower rate and take the cash out, well, yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer, right? Mm-hmm. And your equity should still be okay because of what's gone on with real estate lately. Part two would be to borrow from anybody. It depends on the rate, the student loan rate, the HELOC rate, the whatever rate of it's going to take you to pay that back.
A HELOC rate is going to be higher than a refi rate.
Sure.
A student loan rate will probably be higher, probably in most cases, than a HELOC rate.
Yeah, the pluses are still higher than I'd like to see for most people. The plus, the student loan plus.
But I think you're on a great track. I mean, you say you have no money, but you know what? Your note says you actually do have money.
Yeah.
You have equity in your home. You have money in deferred comp. You have investments. You have money, and you're 35. To have any money at 35 makes
save.
You a winner.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Most people, sadly, do not at 35.
Well, thanks so much for the call. We really appreciate it. If you have questions, call them into us at 855-935-8255 or go to talkingrealmoney.com and record the question or type it in. And Tom, if you need big help, you want somebody to help you figure out the messy portfolio you have, or you're just not planning. You're just kind of putting a little money around here and there. You don't know how your retirement plan works with your non-retirement assets and all that. You just want somebody to look over and go, okay, here's what you should do. Or you want a second or third opinion. Go to vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com, and set up an appointment with one of our Vestory by Appella advisors. They will absolutely help you for a while. Not for the rest of your life without paying us, but for a while. And there's no cost, no obligation, and no high-pressure sales pitch, right?
Yes.
Did I say that right?
You did.
Vestry.com.
Vestry by Appella, yes.
It's Vestry.com, though.
Yes, by.com. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. I just want you to let's get it right. And, oh, by the way, you can call our office, too, at 800-386-3004. So there you have it. Do we have anything else to add?
I think that should do it for today. We've got the bad jokes. What was the other thing the guy picked on us about that was bad jokes, out-of-date references? We got a few of those in there.
Sickeningly sweet sarcasm.
Yeah, okay. I think we've covered everything so far. We got the flogging, et cetera. So we're good.
I can't think of any other bad stuff we did today.
Did some songs.
I mean, you did repeat the same joke over and over.
I know. Well, there's the out-of-date reference. It just keeps on coming.
Then we're good. Let's call it a podcast, shall we? I'm Don. Over there, that guy's Tom. He's over one of these sides of me. It depends on how the thing renders. I don't know what side he ends up on because Zencastr does the rendering. So I think he'll be over there. That's Tom. And we just live most of our life mulling over, reading about, and of course, the most important thing of all, talking real money.
Talking real money. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately, consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestory, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.